and morning trying to apologize for last night. Perfect. Mom scampered off toward the stairs. I'll get showered and dressed. By the time you train, get back, shower, and get ready, I should be almost finished. I laughed at that. I could probably eat and take a nap beforehand, too. She giggled but didn't deny it before trotting up the stairs. At least she seemed better than when she'd come down them. It took a lot to knock my mom down for longer than a few minutes. After the hell my dad put her through when I was younger, there wasn't much that could faze her. Though, when she told me stories about her before Dale, it was always so hard for me to imagine. To me, she'd always been a wealthy, classy, refined woman. It was hard to imagine the poor, rough-around-the-edges version of her. In fact, I didn't really know much about that time in her life. My dad left her when I was born, not even leaving so much as a note. She met Dale 2 years later, and only a year after that, they were married. He'd been around my entire life. Dale was my father, as far as I was concerned. Still, my grandmother often told me how Dale brought out the best in my mom and saved her from a really dark time in her life. I guess in a way, Dale sort of saved me, too. I shook off the feeling of the house as I made my way to the Rover. I wouldn't say I was necessarily excited about going to the gym, but I wasn't dreading it either. I was nervous to see Rhodes, but anxious to work out. There were plenty of things I wanted to get my mind off of, and unlike my mother, shopping wouldn't help. But working out might. On my way to the club, I dialed Willow. She answered on the first ring.
Okay, I decided you can't hate me because you're my best friend, Nat, and if you hate me, my life will plummet into a downward spiral the summer before college, and I'll never come back from it. I won't get into the early admittance program. I'll probably fail out of college my first year from sheer depression, and then I'll live the rest of my life trying to be a carny at the Paxton Beach Fair and wondering where I went wrong that fateful night years ago.
Willow was breathless by the time she finished spouting off her story, and I couldn't help but laugh. Lo, I'm not mad at you.
Oh my God, she said, exhaling a long breath. I've been freaking out all night. I'm so sorry. Whatever happened, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have forced you to go out with everyone. I don't know what's going on with Mason and his chick, but I'm sorry I pushed you. We don't have to hang out with anyone else the rest of the summer, just me and you. I promise. I'm so sorry.
Lo, I cut her off. It's fine, I promise. I'm good.
What happened?
Sighing, I gave her the Cliff Note version in the 5 minutes I had left before I would pull into the club. She cursed the entire time and vowed to strangle Shay the next time she saw her, which made me laugh more.
So did you just go home? Did you call Dale or your mom?
I hesitated.
Willow waited a moment before speaking again. What? What is it?
Well, don't freak out, but I may or may not have gone home with Rhodes.
Oh my God.
She said the first word with a punch and the second two altogether.
Shut up!
I cringed. Well, he kind of found me, and Willow squeaked, drowning out my explanation.
I need details now! All of them!
This time I laughed. You're going to have to wait. I'm pulling up to the club for my training session, but I started just as she began whining. My mom wants to go shopping this evening. Come with us?
Like, that's even a question. Call me when you're on your way, and I better get every single detail with you making me wait like this.
With that, Willow ended the call, and I tossed my phone into my gym bag and trudged into the gym. When I entered through the double glass doors and saw Rhodes running on the treadmill, sweat pouring down his face and drenching the top of his shirt, the nerves I was feeling earlier rushed back in full force. His eyes lifted as soon as I entered, and he killed the machine, wiping himself with a small white towel as he made his way toward me.
You're late.
Sorry, I murmured. My parents were... Well, it doesn't matter. I'm here. He nodded, and I waited for him to rip into me. About last night, about being late, anything to get him to just get it over with before we started. But surprisingly, he didn't.
Do you know how to check your heart rate?
I scrunched my nose. I mean, I watch it when I'm on the treadmill or the Stairmaster.
But do you know how to check it without a machine?
I shook my head.
Okay.
He started, moving closer to me.
You know how I tell you to get your heart rate up to at least 160 beats per minute when we're doing treadmill drills?
I nodded.
That's because at that rate, you're in your hardcore cardio zone. If you're between 140 and 160, you're in cardio. 120 to 140, fat burn. Anything over 180 is max effort, and anything less than 120 is warm-up.
I was looking at him like he'd just told me I have a thigh gap. He chuckled.
I'll get you a chart, but the point I'm trying to make is that you should be able to do this on your own without a machine. You should always monitor your heart rate to know what zone you're in, regardless of if you're working out outside or on a treadmill.
Okay, so how do I do that? Rhodes took my wrist and my stomach dropped, but I didn't let it show. Turning my arm so that my palm faced upward, he pressed two fingers into my skin on the thumb side of my wrist.
Using two fingers, push hard between the bone and the tendon over your radial artery right here. Then, count how many beats you feel in 15 seconds and multiply by 4 to get your heart rate.
You can feel my heart right now? His eyes lifted to mine and the slightest smile curled on his lips.
Yeah, I can feel your heart.
For a moment, he stayed staring at me like that, but then he cleared his throat and dropped my wrist.
You can check it on your neck, too, but I like the wrist way myself. Try it.
I did, and I was embarrassed by how fast my heart was beating while we were just standing there. I knew he had felt it, too, which only deepened my embarrassment further.
Got it?
I nodded. Yeah, I think so.
Good. I don't want you to have to depend on the machine.
He paused and pulled something from his pocket.
That being said, I got you something.
He opened his hand and revealed a small white box with a watch depicted on the packaging. It was kind of bulky, but it was pink and feminine at the same time. What is it?
It's a lot of things. It's a heart rate monitor, a watch, a GPS system. It can log how far you run when you run outside. It's waterproof, so even if it's raining, you can still wear it. And it has a voice memo feature, so you can record how you're feeling at certain times during your workout. You can track your workouts each day and look at the data that compares how many calories you burned over the weeks and months and what your average heart rate was. And you can even toggle a setting for it to coach you while you train.
He shrugged.
It's kind of like a mini-me on your wrist.
I smiled, but my stomach was caught in a wave, dipping and surging over and over again. Rhodes was giving me a gift, and I had no idea how to react. Wow. He shifted on the heels of his feet, shrugging as he ran his free hand back through the damp hair.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something I'd like to give to my clients to help out.
He tossed it to me quickly.
Go ahead and put it on, and I'll show you how it works.
I did as he said, but I couldn't help the disappointment I felt when I realized it wasn't just something he'd done for me. But why was I disappointed? He was a trainer, giving a workout-related gift to the person he was training. It made sense that he would do it for everyone. I was overly annoyed with my emotions. Once we'd toyed with it and figured out how it worked, we set in on the day's training schedule. We weren't talking much, but that was mostly because I could barely breathe, let alone talk. Rhodes went a little harder on me each day, but the crazy thing was, I was beginning to be able to handle it. In fact, I almost wanted him to push me harder. The adrenaline, the rush of endorphins, the ache in my muscles, I kind of loved all of it. Who was I?
Tomorrow is our last workout before your second weigh-in on Sunday,
he told me, tossing me my water bottle as we finished up the final round of weights.
I'm going to do one of my more advanced sessions with you, if you're up for it.
I nodded, though in my head I was trying to figure out how it could get more intense than it already was. Bring it. He almost smiled, but opened his mouth and tongued the inside of his cheek instead, staring at me amused.
You are so going to wish you hadn't said that. Bring your watch. I can't wait to see how many calories we blast.
He winked before turning toward the showers, and I let out a long, slow, shaky breath. I was relieved. He didn't bring up the night before, he didn't ignore me or lash out at me, and if anything, I'd even go so far as to say he was nice to me. I didn't know what to think about the watch, but I decided not to dwell on it. I had two girls waiting on me to unleash their inner shopping beasts, and I did not want to keep them waiting. Packing up my bag quickly, I made my way out to the car. On my way out, I passed by several women, two of which I knew were Rhodes' clients. I swallowed as I passed them, his words from the night before ringing loud in my ear.
I'm not a good person, okay? I train and screw around with other people who are just as shitty as I am.
One of the women, a tall, blue-eyed redhead, eyed me cautiously as I passed, almost as if I didn't belong there. And I guess in a way, I didn't. I didn't really belong anywhere. But I was trying to figure out who I was exactly, because I needed to know that before I could find out where to place myself. So I held my chin up and strolled past them without cowering away. A smile met my lips when I realized neither of the two who I knew Rhodes trained with were wearing the watches like mine. Something told me Rhodes had lied. But for once,
I was okay with it.
Chapter 10 Willow made me spill all the details when we went shopping that night, and of course she overanalyzed everything. That was her specialty, after all. She was convinced Rhodes was into me, which was the most ludicrous thing I'd ever heard. When she turned the conversation back to Mason, anger rolled through me. All summer I had been working to get him back, but that night at the fair when he'd neglected to stick up for me, I realized I didn't even know the guy I was fighting for anymore. So I shifted gears. Did I still want him to see me when I dropped my weight and looked amazing? Yes. But now, it was less about getting him back and more about showing him that I could do whatever I wanted to, whether he believed in me or not. Willow co-signed. The next day, Rhodes came through on his promise, completely murdering me in the gym. But it was worth it when I weighed it on Sunday. I had lost another 8 pounds, which meant I was already down 19 pounds in just 2 weeks. It was hard for me to wrap my mind around that. It had only been 2 weeks, yet it felt like years. I could already feel my body changing, yet at the same time, I found it hard to believe that I could have already lost almost 20 pounds. But the number on the scale didn't lie. Another week went by, and I felt myself start to fall into a routine. Eating right was beginning to be less of a chore and more of an instinct. I still craved sweets and sodium-packed easy meals, of course, but it was easier to fight off those cravings when I knew how hard I had to work to get that same number of calories in that chocolate bar to show up on my watch. The watch had become an obsession for me. I loved seeing my heart rate skyrocket when I was working hard and the calories burn number climb right along with it. Rhodes scolded me when I drained the battery in the first few days. I accidentally left the voice memo function on after I noted how much easier I was breathing during a run, and it killed the battery life. But I was getting the hang of it, and it was by far the best gift I've been given in years. Rhodes and I hadn't hung out since that night at the fair, but training with him was becoming fun. He was different with me than before, showing me a softer side. He wasn't a tiny meowing kitten by any means, but he wasn't the pit bull I'd become used to either. He talked to me more and listened to my concerns, helping me see the finish line in sight when I couldn't. He wasn't cooking for me anymore or running into me outside the gym, but we were falling into a comfortable zone. Trainer and client. Jedi and Padawan. On the flip side, Mason had texted me more than 10 times since the night of the fair. The text ranged from apologies to just asking how I was to reminding me of inside jokes we'd had. I'd yet to respond, but mostly because I wasn't sure what to say. Or think, really. Where my body was making progress, my mind seemed to be falling deeper and deeper into a confusing pit of feelings. I wanted to decipher them, but I kept my focus on training and eating right. Thoughts and feelings could wait. The problem was, when Mason texted me, I still felt that same pull to him that I always had. I knew my priorities had shifted and the lifestyle change I was making was for me, but I couldn't figure out if Mason was still driving part of my decision to train harder, too. I would be lying if I said I didn't still have moments where I wanted him back, and part of me hoped he was thinking the same about me, too. Still, I longed for the old Mason, the one I wasn't sure still existed. I wanted our comfortable date nights in, our crazy nights out with our friends, and the way he smiled sideways at me as he tucked me under his arm. I missed it. When I wasn't training or hanging out with Willow, I was still watching Lost, and I was in the middle of season 4 on the Saturday evening before my 3rd weigh-in, when Willow called me with news I wasn't prepared for. I got in! She said the words with a mixture of excitement and caution, and it took me a moment to realize what those 3 syllables meant. She meant the Kickstart program. When the news settled, I bolted up from the couch where I'd been lounging and switched the phone to my right ear. Oh my gosh, Willow, congratulations! I swallowed hard, powering off the television completely. I'm so happy for you! And I was. I really was, but at the same time, I was selfish. Willow was the only friend I had in Paxton Beach, the only true friend anyway, and with all the drama going on with Mason and Shay, I didn't want her to leave. I knew that made me a crappy friend, but I couldn't help it. I needed her.
Willow let out a breath.
Oh, God, I'm so happy you're happy. I was nervous to call.
Why?
Because... Her voice trailed off. I just know you have a lot going on right now. I don't want you to think I'm abandoning you. Reaching for my egg-shaped lip balm on the coffee table, I ran it over my lips to buy me a minute before I exhaled a long breath. Are you kidding me, Lo? You're my best friend, and this is amazing news. Can I come over to celebrate? My parents are taking me out to dinner, actually, she answered. Oh, well, that's okay. Can I come by tomorrow? Well, something in my gut told me I wouldn't like what Willow said next. I won't be here tomorrow. They want me to come up for orientation on Monday, and Mom wants to leave tomorrow to make the drive. My stomach sank along with my shoulders. Oh, okay, well, we'll just get together when you get back. When do you leave for the program? I heard Willow swallow.
3 weeks?
3 weeks? I repeated back to her in a high shrill that I didn't know my voice was capable of making. Clearing my throat, I tried to calm down. That's so soon.
I know.
We were silent for a moment, and I knew I was making her accomplishment seem like something she should be sad about, which was dramatic and immature, and I was trying to be better at both, so I forced a smile. Well, we have a lot of shopping to do in 3 weeks if we're going to get you ready for college. Willow squeaked.
Oh my God, Nat, I got in! I'm going to the advanced program at Appalachian State!
We both screamed together, and I felt a surge of pride for my best friend. I didn't want her to go, but I was proud of her. She deserved every bit of success I knew she would achieve. I just wasn't sure where I fit in with her new plans, or what my plans would be.
Gotta go! We just got to the restaurant. I love you!
Love you too, Lo. When we hung up, I stared down at the phone in my hand, the heavy silence of the empty house giving me goosebumps. Mom and Dale were out of town for the week, traveling for business and to see a few family friends. Other than Christina, all our other help was off for the week, too. I was alone, and the one person I could call to comfort me was the one currently causing the pain. I had no right to be upset that Willow was leaving. That much I knew. Still, whether that was the case or not, I felt like a part of me was being ripped away. Willow had been my best friend since we were toddlers. We never went more than a week without seeing each other. We were supposed to go to college together. It was always in our plans. But she was going to college and I was staying in Paxton Beach. I had no idea how to handle that. Even worse, it was my fault I was staying. I could have joined Willow a couple months later in the fall, but I hadn't so much as looked at how much the application fee for Appalachian State was, let alone apply. Because at the end of the day, I still didn't know what I wanted to do. I was lost. I was idle. And the world kept spinning on without me. It wasn't that I hadn't thought about my options, because I had. The truth was, the biggest part of me really wanted to go to an art school if I was going to do the college thing at all. But admitting that to myself wasn't nearly as hard as it would be to tell Mom and Dale. They would want me at Appalachian State. With my best friend going there, it shouldn't have seemed like such a big deal to me to not go, but it was. I didn't want to be like everyone else in Paxton Beach. In fact, I wanted out of the town altogether. The shock of that admission hit me in the chest, and I exhaled a long breath. I flipped through my contacts, landing on Mason's number and staring at it. My thumb hovered over the call button, my breath labored as I tried to figure out what to do. I needed to get out of the house. I needed to be with somebody. But I knew Mason wasn't that someone. I could call Christina, but she was with her boys, and I didn't want to pull her away when she was finally getting some quality time with them, now that Mom and Dale were out of town. My knee bounced as I thought hard about who to call. Rhodes popped into my mind out of nowhere, and I shook my head. But then I paused. Maybe he could help. He did kind of save me from my thoughts after that night at the fair, and we were joking around more. He wasn't Willow by any means, but he cared about me, right? Before I could overthink it, I dialed his number.
Hey, everything okay?
He answered after 5 rings, and I could tell by his breathy voice that he was busy. When I didn't answer right away, he muffled the phone with his palm, but I could still hear him speaking to someone through it.
My throat felt thick with something I couldn't swallow as my mind raced, wondering who was there with him. When the phone cleared, he spoke again.
What's going on?
Can I come over? He paused.
It's not really a good time. Did something happen? Are you hurt?
Please, Rhodes? I hated the way my voice sounded when I pleaded with him. I don't really have anyone else to call right now. My parents are out of town and Willow, well, she's not available. It's kind of a long story, but I really need to clear my head right now. Go for a run with me or cook for me or something, anything. I need to do something. Rhodes drew out a long breath laced with curse words, and I paced as I waited for him to answer.
Okay, give me 30.
He hung up before I could answer, but I exhaled, feeling some sort of unexplainable hope that he would hold the key to making me feel better. I realized then that Rhodes often gave me a hope that no one else could, and that recognition scared me. I dressed in workout clothes, tossing my hair into a bun before packing a bag with extra clothes, just in case we did something after. I didn't know why I expected Rhodes to want to spend his Saturday night with me, and I guess that's not really what I was asking. I just needed to pass some time to get out of my thoughts and into my body for a while. Rhodes was actually a pro at ignoring me and not talking, which is more of what I needed in that moment. Maybe that's why I called him. It just made sense. I left my house earlier than I needed to, mostly because I couldn't stand to be there alone anymore. I couldn't believe I was taking the news of Willow leaving as hard as I was. It wasn't like I thought she wouldn't get into the program. Still, the hit of her news crashed through my already shaky emotions, and I found myself spinning. I needed something to ground me. Pulling up to Rhodes' apartment complex 10 minutes earlier than he'd asked, I tried to pass time playing on my phone in the Rover. Pictures of Mason and Shay, along with congratulations posts to Willow, flooded my social media networks, and I tossed my phone into the passenger seat, letting out a frustrated sigh. I tapped my fingers on the steering wheel, applied another coat of lip balm, cleaned my Ray-Bans with the end of my t-shirt before placing them back in their case. I popped in a piece of gum and chewed it for a minute before spitting it out my window. Not even 60 seconds had passed. I knew he was with someone when I called, but surely he had time to get back home by now, right? I didn't see his bike, but then again, I wouldn't see his bike because he parked it inside. Sighing, I gave up trying to wait. Screw it. I grabbed my bag and jumped out of the SUV, locking it behind me. The closer I got to Rhodes' apartment, the more the familiar nerves my body associated with his proximity consumed me. He always made me anxious, and I had no idea why. When I reached his front door, I lifted my hand to knock, but it swung wide open before my knuckles could tap the light blue exterior. Rhodes stood in the doorway, but he wasn't the only one. A busty woman with razor-cut brunette hair and a fake tan was wrapped around him, her lips hard on his. She was giggling, but startled as Rhodes ripped his mouth from hers to stare at me.
Shit.
I snapped out of my trance and let my eyes fall to the ground. Sorry. It's all good, babe, the woman said, her leathery hand touching my arm as she excused herself from Rhodes' apartment. We just finished up. She threw a wink back at him, and my stomach lurched, my cheeks burning. See you at the club on Monday, stud. With that, she swayed down the hallway, intoxicated by a high I was sure only Rhodes could provide. She didn't even have her shoes on. She was waltzing away barefoot, her high heels hooked on two dainty fingers over her shoulder. Rhodes and I both watched her until she was out of sight. I lifted my eyes to meet his again, but he'd already turned his back, leaving the door open behind him. Who is that? I asked, following. I closed the door and tossed my bag on the floor.
A client.
Uh-huh. He leveled his eyes at me.
Don't make this about me. I told you 30 minutes. It's been 25.
Well, at least you have your timing down, I scoffed.
Why are you here?
His question knocked the cocky smirk from my face. Willow got into the early admittance program. She leaves in 3 weeks. Rhodes didn't soften his glare or offer an apology. He simply nodded, turning toward his bedroom.
Let me get changed and we can run.
And run we did. We didn't talk the entire time, save for the random things I spouted off on my watch, like how the first mile we ran was my fastest mile yet. Rose led me through the trail that lined the back of his apartment complex, showing me a side of Paxton Beach I'd never seen before. We ran past a few homeless colonies, their shaded eyes wary of us as we did. I swallowed, running faster to stay close to Rhodes. I wasn't sure how far we ran, but we were out for at least an hour before we made our way back to his place. Neither of us said a word as we took turns showering, and I knew he really was what I needed most in that moment. I already felt better about Willow, the run helping my thoughts settle, and Rhodes didn't ask me to talk about it if I didn't want to. Still, after our showers, I sat on one of his kitchen bar stools with my hair in a wet, messy bun, and watched as he preheated the oven, finally feeling like maybe I did want to talk, even if just a little bit. I waited as Rhodes began pulling ingredients and cooking utensils out onto the counter, wondering if he'd maybe ask me to talk about it, but he never did. That was part of his allure, which I knew, so the ball was in my court if I wanted to talk. For a while, I just watched him cook in silence. Every now and then he would glance up at me, but then his focus was drawn right back into the meal. He seemed to be working through something, too. Even while we were out running, I could feel some kind of emotion steaming out of him, too. "She's my best friend," I started as he cut a mango. "It's always been me and her. We had our group of friends, and everyone loved Willow. But at the end of the day, it was always us. We were supposed to go to college together. We want to have houses right next to each other. That was always the plan. Get married, have kids." I trailed off. I sound so stupid, don't I? Rhodes shrugged.
"You're going to miss her. There's nothing stupid about that."
"But I wouldn't have to miss her if I was going with her."
"So why don't you?"
I sighed. "I don't want to do what everyone else in this town does. Go to Appalachian State, travel for a while, and then end up right back here. It's like the cycle of life around here."
"Yeah,"
Rhodes said sarcastically, the knife in his hand clacking against the cutting board.
"Sounds awful."
"Oh, like you want to be here any more than I do."
"Some of us don't have a choice."
He met me with hard eyes. Dumping the mango into a bowl along with diced tomatoes, he continued.
"Besides, Appalachian State isn't the only college out there. What's stopping you from going somewhere else?"
"My family." He mixed in a few spices but didn't look at me when he responded.
"It's not your family's life you're living. It's yours."
I chewed on that, falling silent. He had a point. I wasn't sure exactly what it was that was holding me back from making decisions about my future. Part of me did want to go to Appalachian State University. They had a great photography program and Willow would be there. But then again, so would Mason. I could go somewhere else, like an elite art school where I'd really learn more about photography, but Dale would fight me on it and that wasn't a battle I wanted to tackle. I was surprised he was even letting me slide with the "I'm taking time off" excuse for not applying to Appalachian State right after SATs. Maybe it wasn't even about college. Maybe it was about the way I felt about myself, the feeling I was trying to change by training with Rhodes. I was lost. I was frustrated. And though I knew in my head that I had the power to change it, I still felt so helpless. I sighed, sipping on the water Rhodes had poured me. I had no right to be upset about Willow leaving. I could miss her, but I couldn't feel much else than that. She was following her dreams, and I couldn't fault her for that just because I didn't have my own. Watching Rhodes work, I wondered who the woman was earlier and what they had done. It was stupid to wonder, really, because the implication was pretty clear. But I couldn't figure out why he did what he did. He was young, attractive, smart. He could have any girl he wanted. Why was it the stuck-up house moms who got to live between his sheets? Was it the only way he could keep his job? Why didn't he just work somewhere else if that was the case? I traced the lip of my glass with my fingertip, ice skating with it. "You know you can file sexual harassment against those club members. They can't make you do the extra training." Rhodes scoffed.
"Don't be naive."
"Do you choose to do it then?"
"Yes,"
he snapped.
"I choose to, and stop skirting around the word. I fuck them, Natalie. Hard, long, and until they scream like they used to when they were in their 20s.
I tried to swallow but found no moisture to aid in the process. Rhodes' scowl was intimidating, but I saw him shaking slightly. And that's when it hit me. He was embarrassed. There was a reason he asked me to show up after that woman was gone. He didn't like this part of himself, which prompted my next question. Why?
Because not all of us have a rich daddy.
He slammed the fridge shut with those words, popping the top off a bottle of beer. That's not fair.
Don't talk to me about fair,
he said, bringing the bottle to his lips. After a few chugs, he set it on the counter and splayed his palms out, facing me.
My twin sister disappeared when I was a senior in high school, and as soon as I graduated, my foster parents kicked me out. The money stopped, right? So why would they want to keep me?
He shook his head.
I was glad to leave, though, Natalie, because being out on the streets without a clue as to what to do with my life was better than being beaten by my alcoholic foster dad every night.
My throat was so tight, so dry. I wanted to say something, but I had no idea what.
But I made it on my own. It wasn't easy, but I learned real quickly that earning enough to live means not always doing what you want to do. I lived on the streets for months before I figured out the kind of work I could do to make real money. It was drugs at first, and then it evolved into other things.
They pay you? I asked softly.
Of course they fucking pay me.
He shoved back from the counter.
And not shit money either. I make more off one session with them than I do an entire month of working at the club. They toss hundreds around like food scraps.
He took another long pull from his beer, his eyes wild. It's like he wanted to stop himself from talking, but he was at the point where he couldn't.
You think I can pay for an apartment on my own with the $20 a training session the clients pay me? You think I'd be able to afford the private investigator I've had searching for my sister for the past 3 years on the paychecks from the fucking country club?
He wasn't yelling, but I felt anger pouring out of him.
I fuck sad, rich women to pay my bills. I'm a shitty fucking person. Is that what you wanted to hear, Natalie?
He moved from the kitchen into the living room and plopped down on the couch, draining the rest of his beer before slamming the bottle onto the coffee table. I jumped, but he just stared at his clasped hands, his elbows on his knees and his head down. Cautiously, I moved over to sit next to him. There was something about the torture in his eyes and the tenseness of his jaw that made me want to photograph him. His edges were so hard, but in moments like that, I saw his softness. I almost reached for my camera, but thought better of it. "I'm sorry, Rhodes," I whispered as I sank down in the couch cushion next to him. He cringed, shaking his head.
"Don't."
I bit my lip. I knew saying sorry wouldn't make him feel any better. He wasn't just angry, he was embarrassed, and it was my fault. "You pay for an investigator?" I asked, and he nodded, his head still in his hands. I swallowed. "Has he found anything?"
"Not yet,"
he answered gruffly.
"But I have to believe one day he will, or believe she's dead. I alternate between the two daily."
My eyes skated over his skin as he breathed steadily, trying to calm himself. I watched his chest rise and fall, watched the muscles in his back strain and stretch against the thin fabric of his cut-off shirt. I guess I should have been disgusted with his confession about the women from the club, but I only found myself yearning to take away the pain his words were laced with. I knew what it felt like to be embarrassed, to feel not good enough. Before I knew what I was doing, my fingers reached out, touching the smooth skin of his forearm. He stiffened as I slid them lower, wrapping them around his wrist. He lifted his head to watch me, and I tilted his wrist toward the ceiling, my heart thumping loudly in my ears. It was the first time I'd been brave enough to touch him. "I'm sorry," I whispered again. Rhodes' nose flared, his eyes closed tight. I was shaking, unsure of the moments my body was so confidently making without me, but Rhodes was perfectly still. Carefully, my fingers found the inside of his wrist, and I pressed hard. "I can feel your heart too, Rhodes. You're more than what you think you have to be." His forehead wrinkled as if my words had caused him pain, and his eyes connected with mine, staying there for a moment, studying me, asking me for something, before they fell even slower than before to rest on my lips. My stomach dropped as his breath came harder and mine did too, like we were breathing in a fire, filling our lungs with smoke, starving for oxygen. It was the first time I admitted it to myself.
I wanted Rhodes to kiss me. I waited, my fingertips still pressed into the inside of his wrist. He leaned forward just a fraction, barely enough for me to notice, but enough to make both our heart rates beat faster. I felt his through the vein in his wrist and mine thumping loudly in my ears. When I licked my lips, Rhodes closed his eyes again and let out a frustrated breath through his nose. His rough hand trailed down my arms and hooked around my hand on his wrist, gripping it for just a minute before pulling it away. We should eat. He dropped my arm to the sofa and stood, making his way back into the kitchen. I just sat there, my breath still shaky, my lips parted. A wave of embarrassment crashed over me, strong and merciless. I tried to kiss Rhodes, and he denied me. I crossed my arms over my chest and fought against whatever emotion was rising in me, but it was too late. My cheeks hot, I shot up from the couch and hastily grabbed my bag from the floor. I'm actually not hungry. Natalie, Rhodes started, but I didn't even turn to acknowledge him. The door slammed behind me, and I wasn't sure if it was intentional or not, but I didn't stop to contemplate it. I didn't stop at all until I was in my car and halfway down the road. The tires on the Rover screeched as I whipped into the parking lot of a Circle K, throwing the car into park and letting my head fall to the steering wheel. I thought I knew what it was to be embarrassed, to feel like a naive little girl, but nothing compared to what I felt as I tried to keep myself together in that parking lot. I squeezed my eyes shut, forced them open, tried with everything I had left in me to breathe normally under the wave. But I couldn't fight it anymore. I was surrendering. I was letting it take me under. And it was in that moment that I realized Rhodes was like lightning. White hot and electric, but fleeting and dangerous. Beautiful to watch, but perilous to touch. But it was too late for warning signs. I'd been struck.
Chapter 11. Rhodes canceled our training the next day, and I weighed in with a female trainer I'd only seen around the club a few times. Her name was Sophia, and she had beautiful tan skin and the tightest body I'd ever seen. I lost another 4 pounds, and though I should have been happy about it, I couldn't find it in me to feel anything other than disappointed. Because as embarrassed as I was about the night before, I still wanted Rhodes to be there for the weigh-in. Since it had been 3 weeks, Sophia took my measurements, too, for the first time since I'd started training. I was down inches in every area, and officially, I was a size 12. I didn't even celebrate with a smile. Sophia trained me for an hour after the weigh-in, but her session was a cakewalk compared to Rhodes. When he canceled again on Monday, I didn't even go to the club. I ran my neighborhood instead, twice. I ran and ran until my legs were numb and my watch hit quadruple digits. Then I collapsed in my driveway, staring up at the blue Carolina sky. Clicking the record button on my watch, I decided to talk, even if it wasn't to an actual person. My muscles hurt today, but not half as bad as my heart, I started, but then I shook my head, realizing how stupid I was being. I didn't need to impress the watch with my words, so I started speaking freely. I don't know what is going on in my head, I sighed. I can't stop thinking about Mason. I know he's with Shay, but not seeing them together has made it easier to pretend that maybe he's not. I want to believe that everything I'm doing to change my life is completely for me, but then I think about him and her, and I just... My voice faded off, and I watched as a soft white cloud slowly floated in front of the sun, granting me temporary relief from its rays. He was my best friend. I don't know how to lose him and Willow both. I swallowed. Saying the words out loud scared me, and for the first time, I wondered if I truly wanted to be with Mason, or if I just didn't want to be alone. And then there's Rhodes. Just saying his name sent a familiar pang through my chest. I don't know even what to say about him. I let the watch record nothing but my breathing for a moment. He makes me so angry, like I'm forcing him to be my friend. But the truth is that I went into this whole thing knowing that wasn't the case. He was the one who made me feel that way because he invited me over, and he gave me advice, and he made me believe he cared about me. I sighed. I don't know. He just makes me feel like maybe I have the ability to be someone I only dreamed I could be. He makes me feel powerful, strong, and sometimes beautiful. I blinked, knowing I was about to admit it out loud for the first time. And I wanted him to kiss me. A twinge kicked in my stomach and I sat upright, ending the voice recording on my watch. I had a headache from trying to figure everything out. Talking about it didn't help like I thought it would. Maybe it was because I was talking to myself instead of someone who could offer resolution. Sighing, I slowly lifted my sore body from the concrete of the driveway and walked to the house, dialing Willow as I did. She didn't answer and I remembered she was still at orientation, and Mom and Dale were still out of town. I felt as lonely and empty as the house I lived in. Rhodes finally showed up for our training session on Tuesday afternoon. He was drenched in sweat when I got to the gym, and I had a feeling he'd already been there for hours. His fiery eyes caught mine as soon as I walked in, and my legs were instantly weak. I wasn't sure if it was from my run the day before or the conflicting emotions running across his face, but I felt like I would fall to my knees at any moment. When I somehow managed to make it to him, I dropped my gym bag to the floor. Rhodes didn't say anything at first. He wiped the sweat from his face with a small white towel and tucked it into the back of his shorts, frowning as his eyes fell down my body. I swore every part of my skin ignited as his eyes raked over me.
New clothes.
I laughed, rolling my eyes and crossing my arms hard over my chest. Really? That's the first thing you're going to say to me? Rhodes had a way of bringing out someone inside of me who had never existed before. I was bold around him, unabashedly bold. It felt strange and incredible at the same time. Rhodes swallowed.
We need to train, Natalie. I've been out for 2 days.
Oh, I'm Natalie now. I'm not Bug anymore. And you're right. I pointed at his chest. You've been out for 2 days. Why was that? Did you not show because of Saturday night? It was like violent word vomit that I couldn't control. Rhodes confused me, and I couldn't figure out why I allowed him to make me feel embarrassed and sad one moment, and then angry as hell the next. Before seeing him in the gym again, I felt like I had myself together. I thought when I eventually did see him, I'd be fine. But the truth was that I wanted to yell at him to get a reaction out of him. Any reaction. Instead, he just sat there, looking calm and collected and completely unaffected by me standing my ground.
I had some things to take care of.
He nodded toward the treadmill next to him.
Climb on, bump the incline up to 4, speed 2. Let's get you warmed up.
So we're just going back to you being my trainer? Is that what this is? Rhodes let out a frustrated sigh and jumped off the treadmill, landing hard in front of me, his eyes leveled with mine beneath a scowl.
I am just your trainer. Now, you can either get on the damn treadmill and warm up, or you can walk out. Either way, I'm getting paid. The choice is yours.
He snagged my empty water bottle from my hands and walked to the water fountain, filling it up along with his own. I pursed my lips but decided not to argue further. Once again, I felt embarrassed by my actions. He'd made me feel like a friend, maybe even something more. But now he was insisting he was just my trainer and I his client. Nothing more, nothing less. I shook my head, trying to clear it. I needed to train after being away from him for 2 days, and more than that, I wanted to train. I wanted to work out every ounce of anger, pain, and sadness I had inside of me. And at that moment, I had enough to work for hours. So we did. Every time Rhodes tried to end the training session, I begged him for more. I was exhausted. I threw up. My legs and arms were cramping, but I didn't stop. Every drop of sweat seemed to take a tiny ounce of my frustration with it as it rolled off the tip of my nose. When I worked my body, my mind was silent, and that's exactly what I wanted. Finally, after just shy of 4 hours, Rhodes called it.
You have to stop, Natalie. You need rest. Go shower and change.
I'm hitting the pool, I said softly, wiping the sweat from my face and reaching for my bag. Rhodes' hand darted out and caught my wrist.
I'm serious. You're done for the day.
I don't want to stop, I said loudly, standing up as tall as I could to look him in the eye. I have a lot of shit going on right now, and the only time I'm not thinking about all of it is when I'm here.
Rhodes' brows pulled down over his eyes, and he released his grip.
Fine, but let's at least go to the sauna instead. You don't have to go home, and it'll be good for your muscles. Deal?
I nodded, grabbed my bag, and stormed toward the locker room. After quickly changing into my one piece, I joined Rhodes in the sauna. But when I swung the door open and the heat hit me in a rush, I was somehow frozen in place. Rhodes was the only one inside, and I faltered at the sight of him. Every inch of his body was covered in a thin sheen of sweat, making his skin glow in the soft, warm light of the sauna. His bright eyes contrasted with the darkness, and the only clothing he wore was a lone white towel wrapped around his lower half. He was bent over, elbows on his knees, just like he'd been on Saturday night when I'd been bold enough to touch him for the first time. When he saw me, his mouth parted slightly, and he glanced briefly at my curves before snapping his eyes back to mine. His jaw tensed, and I watched him swallow, his Adam's apple straining in his throat.
"You okay?" he asked when I didn't move.
I bit my lip and let the heavy wooden door of the sauna close behind me, leaving us alone and blocked off from the world. In an instant, Saturday night came flooding back to me, along with the embarrassment and anger I'd felt. "No! No, Rhodes, I'm not okay!" I tried to say the words with confidence, but my voice shook with every syllable. I had no idea what I was about to say, but I didn't give myself the chance to think about it. "I am completely and frustratingly confused. You say you're just my trainer, but then you look at me like that." I thrusted my hand out toward him. "Like you have to sit on your hands to keep from touching me." I blanched at my own words, and Rhodes' mouth hardened into a thin line, but I kept going. "I never expected us to be anything, okay? I'm not trying to force you to be my friend, but you make me feel like I am, when in reality, it's you who blurred the line. You invited me over twice. You go from talking to me and giving me advice one minute to making me feel like I annoy you the next." I threw my hands up, exasperated. "You want to be friends? Great, I'd like that. You want to just be professional? That's fine too. But make up your mind and stop whipping me around like a damn rag doll." I ripped the door open again and thought about running to the Rover, but decided to walk instead. I knew he wouldn't chase after me, and I held my head high with the dignity I was still managing to hold on to. I did fumble with my keys, though, adrenaline rushing through my veins like never before. The shaking didn't stop until 15 minutes later when I made it inside my house and closed the front door behind me. Christina was just on her way out, her bags draped over her shoulder, but she paused when she saw me. "Everything okay, Miss Natalie?" Closing my eyes, I sighed and nodded. "I'm fine. You heading out?" I forced a smile, but she eyed me questioningly. "I am. Junior has a baseball tournament in Charlotte. I'll be back on Saturday, though. Will you be okay until then?" "I'll be fine, Christina," I reassured her. "If all else fails, there's always takeout." She laughed at that, and her shoulders released the tension they'd been holding since I walked through the door. "Okay, you have my cell if you need me, and no need for takeout," she said as she opened the door. "There are dinners in the fridge with heating instructions." With that, she winked and excused herself. I took an ice bath instead of a shower, trying to calm both my anger and the raging soreness awakening in my muscles. Working for 4 hours felt like a solid plan when I was at the gym, but I regretted it now. When I finished, I dressed in a large t-shirt and boy shorts and fell onto the couch downstairs. Even the thought of reaching for the remote made my body whine in protest, so I audibly sighed when the doorbell rang. With no help to answer the door like usual, I heaved myself up in one motion to get the pain out all at once and waddled into the foyer. Peeking through the peephole, my stomach fell. It was Rhodes. I cracked the door open slowly, trying to hide behind it. My hair was still sopping wet and soaking my t-shirt, and my shorts were much shorter than the pants I usually wore to the gym. But when Rhodes saw me, his eyes didn't fall to acknowledge them. They stayed on mine as I noted his still wet hair and the grocery bags in his hands. He shrugged.
"Hungry?"
"Depends."
"On?"
I shifted. "Am I Natalie or Bug right now?" Rhodes grinned, and the sight of it nearly knocked the air from my chest.
"Bug. That is, if I still have the privilege to call you that."
He frowned again, waiting for me to respond. Slowly, I opened the door further.
Come in.
Rhodes' shoulders were still tight as he moved inside. I closed the door behind us, but he remained in the foyer. His eyes moved all around the house, taking in the living room and the large vaulted ceiling above it before settling on what little of the kitchen he could see from where we stood. He swallowed.
Your house is... wow.
I shrugged, grabbing the grocery bags from his hands. It's not my house, it's Dale's, and you're not cooking tonight. Rhodes followed me to the kitchen.
I'm starving, though.
Me too, but you always cook, and tonight I want you to talk. I put his groceries in the fridge and cabinets before pulling out one of the meals Christina had prepared. It was baked lemon chicken with zucchini and squash. Preheating the oven, I followed her instructions written on the sticky note on top of the container and then turned back to Rhodes. What does you being here mean? Rhodes paused, leaning his elbows on the edge of our kitchen island.
I don't know.
I shook my head. Nope, not doing that. That's what got us here in the first place. So are we friends or what?
Or what?
He chuckled, but I pursed my lips and he cleared his throat, running a hand through his hair.
I don't know, Natalie. What if I told you I'm still figuring it out?
I opened my mouth to argue, but then snapped it shut. I was still figuring out a lot of things, too. So could I really be upset with him for feeling the same way? Okay.
Okay?
He asked, one brow shooting up.
That's it?
I nodded. That was honest. That's all I can ask for. And it was. At the very least, I hoped he'd be honest with me more often, even if it meant hearing something I didn't want to. For now, I didn't want to think about it too much. He was here, which meant he did care about me, and that was enough. I needed him in my corner. After all, I'd already lost Mason, and I'd be losing Willow soon. I was just thankful I hadn't completely lost Rhodes, too. We sat in the kitchen while I made dinner, talking about a little of everything. He asked me more about Willow and her program, and I asked him more about his skills in the kitchen. I was careful not to dive into the family territory, not wanting a replay of Saturday night. Rhodes seemed to relax the more we talked, and after dinner, I poured us each a glass of wine before moving us to the living room.
You know you shouldn't be drinking if you want to stay on your meal plan, Rhodes scolded.
I scoffed and reached for the remote to turn on the stereo. Soft music poured from the speakers and Rhodes looked all around us, awe lighting his face. You know I've had a pretty shitty week and don't exactly care about my meal plan right now, right?
Can't argue that, I guess.
He cheersed his glass to mine and we both took a sip, but his eyes were appraising me.
You're cursing more now than when I first met you.
I guess I have more to curse about. Rhodes laughed, swirling the wine in his glass.
If that's the way it's measured, then I should be a sailor by now.
You practically are.
Maybe I'm the bad influence, then,
he mused. His eyes were playful, his smile easy. Most of the time, Rhodes was shielded under a hard exterior, but in that moment, he was open. I wasn't going to miss the opportunity to find out more about him. So, I said, pulling a small couch pillow over my lap. I was more than a little self-conscious about the shorts I was still wearing. Have you ever thought about going to culinary school?
Of course I have.
And?
And I don't have the money for it.
He clipped, but he wasn't upset. He was just being honest. You can take out a loan.
It's not that easy, Bug. There are still some things that tie me to Poxton Beach. Some things that need to be resolved.
I took another sip of my wine, the bitter sweetness tingling on my tongue. Your sister... Rhodes swallowed hard and took a long pull from his own glass. I immediately regretted bringing her up again and cursed under my breath. I'm sorry, it's not my business.
It's fine,
he breathed, but I noted the way he gripped the glass tighter.
I don't want to not talk about her. She deserves to be talked about.
He paused, eyes on his hands.
And yes, she's the biggest reason why I can't leave yet.
I chewed my lip. Do you think she'd want you to stay?
Fuck no.
He said the words with absolute certainty.
She'd probably kick my ass if she knew I was still here, especially if she knew what I'd done since she disappeared.
His eyes caught mine for a moment, and he looked back down at his lap. He was thinking about the drugs, the women, and embarrassment shaded his cheeks.
She'd tell me to get the hell out of here and go live my life. But I can't do that yet. He shook his head, lifting his eyes to mine again. She wasn't just my sister, she was my twin. We're tied together in ways that other siblings just aren't. And something inside of me tells me if I look long enough, if I try hard enough, I can figure out what happened to her. And I owe that to her. He paused. I can't leave without answers, Natalie.
And if they never come?
He lifted his shoulders slightly, and he drained the rest of his glass, even though I still had over half of mine left.
Then maybe I never leave.
Setting his glass on the coffee table, he stood and looked around the room, effectively ending the conversation. But I let him because I knew with Rhodes I was lucky to get everything I had already. "Oh my gosh, I'm so rude," I said, quickly standing to join him. "My mother would murder me if she knew I hadn't given you the tour yet."
"That's a little extreme,"
Rhodes said, a hint of a smile playing at his lips. "Well, she's an extreme woman," I said. "Come on." We toured the bottom floor first, everything from Dale's office to the four-car garage. I led him upstairs next and watched him closely as we went from room to room. His eyes were wide, but he didn't say much. He just took in everything I told him about each room, and sipped slowly on the second glass of wine I'd poured him before bringing him up. When we reached my room, he walked the walls slowly, his eyes scanning the photographs lining every inch of the soft, mint-colored paint. My room was small for the house, but gigantic in comparison to his. Mom hated that I covered the walls with photos, but she knew there was no way to stop me. Photography was the one thing in the world I was unapologetically passionate about.
"So this is why you always have that damn camera with you."
Every wall was filled with memories. Some of my family, some of my friends, and some of just Paxton Beach scenery. One of my walls was dedicated completely to places I'd traveled with Mom and Dale. My favorites were of Mykonos, an island in Greece we traveled to last summer. Rhodes traced his finger over the bright blue water in a shot I'd taken on the beach, the beautiful Grecian architecture lining the horizon in the background. "Stunning, isn't it? It's even better in person."
"It's beautiful,"
he said, shaking his head.
"I can't even imagine seeing a place like this."
"Maybe you will one day." A short, soft laugh escaped his lips. When his fingers lightly brushed the newest addition to the wall, one of the photos from the night of the fair, he paused, and I wondered if maybe he realized it was so much better seeing it in real life the same way I did. We were both quiet for a long moment. "What are you afraid of, Rhodes?" I asked softly, moving a little closer to him. He kept his back turned, his fingers still lightly on the photo, and for a moment I thought he might not answer.
"Starving."
He just barely whispered the word, but it was loud enough to knock every other thought from my mind.
"I know what it feels like to be hungry, in many aspects."
He turned to me then, his eyes slightly glossed over like he wasn't quite there anymore.
"Nothing scares me more than the possibility that I may never cure that hunger."
I swallowed, but I didn't comment. His eyes fell over the rest of the photos on the wall, and then he turned, scanning the others.
"There are no photos of you. There's your family, your friends."
He turned back to me.
"But none of you."
I laughed lightly. "Yeah, well, I'm not exactly worth taking a photograph of." Rhodes' brows pulled inward, and he went to speak, but then he glanced around again.
"Wait, where is your bathroom?"
Through that door, I replied, pointing. He moved past me and through the bathroom door, flicking on the light. He peered around for a moment and then turned back to me.
"You don't have a single mirror in your room, not even in here."
I shrugged. "Mirrors aren't exactly my thing either, Rhodes."
"Why?"
I let out a sharp laugh this time, gesturing to my body hidden behind the baggy t-shirt.
"Seriously?"
His face hardened, and he dropped his glass on my bedside table before taking mine from me, too. Grabbing my hand in his, he pulled me down the hall.
"What are you doing?"
Rhodes didn't answer. He opened door after door until he found our master guest room. It was my mom's favorite, the one she always reserved for the most important guests we housed. When Rhodes pulled me in front of the grand, full-length mirror set up beside the bed, I cringed. "Stop, Rhodes!" I said, pushing against his chest to try to move him toward the door again.
"No, Natalie."
He grabbed my arms and turned me back toward the mirror. Rhodes was standing behind me, tall and picturesque as always. His hair had dried naturally and had a soft wave to it. His defined jaw matched the cut muscles that ran along the arms he still had firmly holding me in place, and his electric eyes were hard on mine.
"Tell me what you see."
"I see you."
"Don't look at me."